Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, today we pray about the very meaning of our life and how we use it. We know why we are here. We found the answer on the first page of children's catechisms in answer to the question, why did God make me? And the answer, God made me to know, love, and serve him on earth in order to be happy with him forever in heaven. That is the goal, heaven for all eternity. But we pray about how we use this time that, Lord, you have given us as a great treasure. Saint Jose Maria has a homily on time entitled, Time is a Treasure. And we will use that now for our prayer. But first, we open the Gospel of Saint Matthew to the 25th chapter and that beautiful parable that you give us, Lord, about the wise and foolish virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, Perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And Lord, we learn so many lessons from this beautiful parable. Let us go back to the marriage custom. Having been betrothed for some time, and usually it was about a year, the marriage feast came. The bridegroom would go to the house of the bride and take her to his own house for the wedding celebration. And in this case, the maidens, the virgins, let us call them the virgins, are waiting for him on the road. And it is not certain when he will arrive. On this occasion, they all fall asleep, and he arrives at midnight. Then the foolish ones had not brought enough oil. There was obviously some oil in their lamps, but they had not brought enough for that journey to the bridegroom's house. And so when they go to the dealers to buy, they arrive late, and in fact, they're not welcomed into the wedding feast. We might be inclined to ask, why didn't the wise virgins give them some of their oil? But they knew, perhaps, that the journey to the bridegroom's house was quite long. If they gave them, let's say, half of their oil or some of it, they might not have enough oil for any of them to arrive with their lamps lit at the bridegroom's house. And so, wisely, they say, there might not be enough for us and for you. And so they have to go to the dealers after midnight to buy oil. And our Lord's conclusion, and let us read his words, when the foolish ones arrive. The foolish ones arrive and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. They're knocking at the door. They want to go in too. They can hear the merriment going on inside at that wedding feast. Lord, Lord, open to us. But then they hear that stern reply, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. What an affront. I do not know you. He would have selected those virgins to accompany him, but now he tells them, I do not know you. How frightening it would be if we thought we were ready for heaven and we heard words like that. I do not know you. Watch therefore, our Lord continues, for you know neither the day nor the hour. A great lesson for us. The wedding feast is eternal life in heaven. We are all called to go there. Lord, that is why you made us. And Lord, you came on earth so that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That all might be saved. You were dying for everyone. You died that horrible death of crucifixion to open up the gates of heaven for everyone. Your earnest desire would be that everyone be saved. But you leave us free, and some will not have the love of you to go to heaven, and that is sad. And so our journey is to heaven. The reason for being here on earth is eternal life in heaven. What then, we might ask, is the oil? What is it that some people have and some people don't have in order to enter into heaven? The obvious answer is to be in the state of sanctifying grace and not in the state of mortal sin. If someone dies in the state of mortal sin because they have not repented of their serious sins, they cannot go to heaven. The Catechism explains that in paragraph 1033. To die in mortal sin without repenting and accepting God's merciful love means remaining separated from him forever by our own free choice. This state of definitive self-exclusion from God and the blessed is called hell. And Lord, it is so clear, it is our own free choice, our own wrong choice, that we commit those sins and then we don't repent. And your merciful love will be held out to everyone at the end of their life to repent. But some, in that misuse of freedom, will reject you in the end and not be saved. And then spend eternity, of course, in hell. As the Catechism says, this state of definitive self-exclusion from communion with God and the blessed is called hell. And hell has those two principal punishments, the pain of sense, which is the pain of fire. Lord, you always speak of the fire, the Gehenna of everlasting fire, for example. And then the more important pain, the pain of loss. Lord, you made us for you. Let's remind ourselves of those words of St. Augustine in his Confessions. Lord, you made us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests in you, and it rests definitively in you in heaven. But those who reject you at the end will spend eternity in hell and never be able to be with you, never be able to enjoy that supreme, definitive happiness which heaven is. That is the greater of the punishments. We do not want to go to hell. And Lord, help us to be ready always, to be like the wise virgins, with oil in our lamps, with our soul in the grace of God. Remembering, too, that we don't know when you are going to call us. You could call us at any time, no matter how young we are. And if we are getting on in years, that day is approaching. We could die at any time of the day, morning, noon, night. We could die in our sleep. We don't know. And yes, we say, but I'm perfectly healthy. But what if we had a heart attack or a stroke? And many seemingly healthy people die of those. What if we are hit by another car in a car accident and we die? We don't know. We don't fear death. But Lord, help us to be prepared always, because we know neither the day nor the hour. Help us to live each day to the full. This day on which we are now praying, every day, as if it were the last. How would we live the last day of our life if we knew that death was approaching? Perhaps because we are lying in bed with a terminal illness and we know we are coming towards the end. How would we live that last day with great love for you, in prayer, reading the scriptures perhaps, saying goodbye to our loved ones, being prepared for that final moment? We don't know, as we say, when it will come. How can we be prepared? To live in the state of grace always now. And yes, we might sin mortally. That is not difficult. But then we repent immediately. And let us remember, too, that if we commit a mortal sin, we are restored to the grace of God immediately upon saying an act of perfect contrition. That is, an act of contrition moved by love. And most acts of contrition that we learn express that. For example, it might say, because you are so good and worthy of all my love. This is why I am sorry for my sins. And once having said that, with the intention of going to confession at the first opportunity, we are restored to the state of sanctifying grace immediately. Naturally, we cannot go to communion until we have been to sacramental confession. But we are in the state of grace. And Lord, help us to avoid committing those mortal sins. Because one mortal sin can lead to another. It can lead to discouragement. It can lead to giving up. And then we might not be sorry and come back to you. We want to stay close to you all our life. And we do this especially by our life of prayer, that we pray at regular times each day, when we get up in the morning, perhaps the morning offering, at noon, the Angelus, at night, the examination of conscience, and an act of contrition. But during the day too, the rosary, mental prayer like we are doing now, the Mass, reading of Scripture. Lord, help us to stay close to you, to have regular times for prayer in its different aspects, to be very prayerful, very loving. Not only that we are saying some prayers, we are fulfilling some duties, but we are loving you. And we are growing in that love, growing in holiness. To be very sincere with ourselves. Let us not convince ourselves that we are in the state of grace when perhaps we have committed a serious sin. Maybe we're doubtful about whether it was mortal or not. But then we go to confession and we ask the priest. We don't want to risk not being in the state of grace. To be very sincere with ourselves, very sincere in confession and in spiritual direction. To do a lot of penance. We have committed a lot of sins. Each one requires that we do something to make up for it, which we call temporal punishment. Temporal from the word for time, because we will do it either here on earth in this time that God gives us, or in purgatory, but we would rather not go to purgatory. And so, Lord, help us to do a lot of penance daily, not extraordinary things, just little things, especially in the fulfillment of our duties, in matters of food, in matters of use of our time, which we are praying about especially now, in the use of our mobile phone. So many little ways that we can deny ourselves and whittle away that debt of temporal punishment. And then we are living in your love, we are growing in love, and we are more assured that whenever you call us, we will be ready. As we said, St. Jose Maria has a homily on time entitled, Time is a Treasure. It's in his book, Friends of God. Let us use some of those paragraphs now for our prayer. In paragraph 39, he says, I want to talk to you about time that passes so swiftly. I am not going to repeat to you the well-known phrase about 1 year more being 1 year less. Nor am I going to suggest that you ask around what others think of the passage of time. If you were to do so, you would probably hear something like, O divine treasure of youth that slips away, never more to return. Though I admit you may come across other views with a deeper and more supernatural content. But Lord, we don't need to ask anyone else what they think of time. They should ask us what we think of time, this treasure that you have given us to prepare ourselves for heaven. Why are we on earth? To prepare ourselves for eternal life with you in heaven. To go home. Heaven is our home. That is where our Father is. That is where we long to be. Here we are tourists passing through. St. Jose Maria continues, Nor is it my purpose to dwell nostalgically on the brevity of human life. For us Christians, the fleetingness of our journey through life should instead be a spur to help us make better use of our time. And Lord, that is the conclusion we want to draw. Make better use of each day of our time. It should never be a motive for fearing our Lord, and much less for looking upon death as a disastrous and final end. Heavens, it is anything but that. It is going home. Yes, we have to pass through that threshold of dying, but on the other end, we are going home. We will find ourselves in that definitive happiness, which is heaven. We do not fear death. And one interesting phenomenon, those many, indeed thousands of people who have had near-death experiences in which they found themselves in heaven, do not fear death afterwards. They come back to earth, of course, to tell us about it, because their time had not yet come. If they had feared death before, now they have passed through it, and they do not fear dying. Or St. Therese of Lisieux says, I'm not dying, I'm entering life. This is the way to see it, so that we do not fear death. It can come at any time. We are looking forward to meeting our Lord. St. Jose Maria says, It had been said in countless ways, some more poetical than others, that by the grace and mercy of God, each year that ends is a step that takes us nearer to heaven, our final home. And so, Lord, we should ask ourselves, how well do I use my time? Would people who know me regard me as busy, doing what God is asking, keeping busy all day in useful things? Or would they regard us perhaps as lazy, disordered, asking us, why do you waste so much time? Lord, help us to use it well. Throughout the day, asking our Lord, what do you want of me? What is your will, not what do I feel like doing now, checking my mobile phone, scrolling on my phone, looking at social media, wasting time, time which is a treasure, or doing what God is asking. Or another way to put it, we can ask, Lord, are you happy with me, the way I am living, the way I am using my time? We go on with St. José María's meditation. When I reflect on this, how well I understand St. Paul's exclamation when he writes to the Corinthians, Tempus breve est, time is brief. And St. José María comments, how short indeed is the time of our passing through this world. For the true Christian, these words ring deep down in his heart as a reproach to his lack of generosity and as a constant invitation to be loyal. Brief indeed is our time for loving, for giving, for making atonement. And Lord, let us pause there. Yes, our life is short, even if it's 100 years. That's nothing compared with the eternity which awaits us. And then these beautiful words of St. José María, which we just read. Brief indeed is our time for loving, for giving, for making atonement. It would be very wrong, therefore, for us to waste it, St. José María says, or to cast this treasure irresponsibly overboard. We mustn't squander this period of the world's history which God has entrusted to each one of us. And that's an interesting reflection too. This period of history in which each one of us lives. It might be an easier time, or as in the present time, it might be quite difficult. When people are leaving God, when Catholics are not practicing their faith as they used to, but then that is our mission, to help them come back, to show them by our joy, by our love for God, by our faith, by our peace, how much good our faith does us. And that very example can help to bring some back. This period of history is where we live. This is where God has put us. This is where we live that life of holiness. We give example to others that we let our light shine. We are the light of the world, and with that, we can draw others to Christ. St. José María continues now in paragraph 40. Let us open the Gospel of St. Matthew at chapter 25, and he gives us the account that we read just a moment ago. And he says, that day will come for us when we are called to the wedding feast. It will be our last day, but we're not afraid of it. Trusting firmly in God's grace, we are ready from this moment to be generous and courageous and take loving care of little things. We are ready to go and meet our Lord with our lamps burning brightly, for the feast of feasts awaits us in heaven. And now he quotes St. Gregory the Great in a homily. Dearly beloved brethren, it is we who are called to take part in the wedding feast of the Word. We who already have faith in the Church, who are nourished on sacred Scripture, and who rejoice because the Church is united to God. Ask yourselves now, I pray you, whether you have come to the feast wearing your wedding garment. Examine your thoughts attentively. And there ends this quote from St. Gregory. And St. José María continues, I assure you, and I say the same to myself, that our wedding garment has to be woven with our love of God, a love we will have learned to reap even in the most trivial things we do. It is precisely those who are in love who pay attention to details, even when they're doing apparently unimportant things. And Lord, yes, we find you, we love you in the ordinary little things of each day, in doing those jobs that we do day after day, in being kind to the people around us, in doing those customary acts of piety that we have every day, and engaging you in them, loving you, seeing them as those oases in the middle of a busy day when we just stop and come into your presence and spend some time alone with you, so that we are always ready. We are living in love, growing in love, storing up treasure in heaven by those little acts of love. In paragraph 41, St. Jose Maria says, "But let us follow the thread of the parable. What happens to the foolish virgins? As soon as the cry is raised, they do their best to get ready to receive the bridegroom. They go off to buy oil, but their decision had come too late. And while they were away, the bridegroom came. Those who stood ready escorted him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, those other virgins came with the cry, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' It's not that they hadn't done anything. They had tried to do something. But in the end, they were to hear his stern reply, 'I do not recognize you.' Either they didn't know how to get ready properly, or they didn't want to, and they forgot to take the sensible precaution of buying oil in due time. They were not generous enough to carry out properly the little that had been entrusted to them. They had been told with many hours to spare, but they had wasted their time. Let us take a good, honest look at our own lives." And Lord, help us to do that. Take a good, honest look at our own lives. Do we use our time well? Are we responsible so that we fulfill those duties entrusted to us? In many cases, they are quite small, ordinary duties. Let us always live them. In some cases, they are very big decisions that affect a lot of people. But whatever they might be, to do what is asked of us, to be prepared, not to be foolish like those virgins who didn't do that very basic thing of having enough oil to accompany the bridegroom to the wedding feast. We might ask ourselves, how is it that sometimes we just can't find those few minutes it would take to finish lovingly the work we have to do, which is the very means of our sanctification, to finish our work offered to God? This is our sacrifice. This is our Mass of 24 hours, as St. Jose Maria describes it. Or do we fulfill well our family duties, providing for the family, spending time talking with each member of the family, especially our spouse, each one of our children, having a happy time with them, going on holidays, going on picnics, making sure that family life in our home is loving and joy-filled? Why do we have that tendency to rush through our prayers as if they were fulfilling an onerous duty? Prayer is spending time with the one who loves us the most. Lord, help us to look forward to spending those times and not to omit them. Why are we so lacking in calm and serenity when it comes to fulfilling the duties of our state, and yet we are so unhurried as we indulge in our own whims? There's no problem about indulging in our whims. We can always do that, even when we are neglecting our real duties in order to fulfill our whims. Lord, help us always to stop and ask, what do you want of me? Not what do I feel like doing now? So that we are using our time in accordance with your will and not with our whims. Not to be hurried when we want to spend time with God and we say, oh, I don't have the time. We have the time for God. That is what is most important. That is especially where we store up the treasure, so that each day, each hour, each minute is a gift from God, is a treasure, is the time that God gives us to prepare for heaven. Lord, help us to use our time well, to do what you are asking of us, to have oil in our lamps, to grow in love, so that we are always prepared with our soul in the state of grace and looking forward to meeting you in heaven. Lord, I long to see your face, we can say with the psalmist in the Old Testament. Every minute is a treasure. Lord, help us to use it well. And we go to Our Lady, who is our mother, who is Gate of Heaven, Queen of Heaven. Mary, help us to use our time well, this gift that God has given us, so that when he calls us, we will be ready and you will be there as Gate of Heaven. Please put in a good word for us. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us, sinners, now and at the hour of our death. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.